across the country right now, school kids are sitting their NAPLAN tests. Their reading, writing, spelling, grammar and numeracy skills are all being assessed. But beyond these basics, what do you really need to learn in the 21st century? How different is it from what you or I were taught at school? Charles Fardell is the head of the Centre for Curriculum Redesign. It's a global organisation based in Boston, USA. He also advises the OECD on education. Charles is in Australia at the moment to deliver a lecture about the qualities and skills our children will need to succeed in the 21st century. Charles, welcome.
Hello, Amanda. Thank you.
Now, when I think about it, I'd say I've had four different jobs and two careers since I left school. That's not including, you know, sort of holiday jobs. How different is that, though, to what's ahead of a school leaver now?
Well, first of all, if you reflect on the jobs you've had, you will see that they have a common thread between them. They were not only used the knowledge you had, but they also used the skills you had acquired, meaning your ability to communicate and collaborate properly, your critical thinking and your creativity. They also used some of the so-called character qualities that you had acquired through your life, meaning your curiosity, your mindfulness to others, your courage, your resilience, your ethics, your leadership. And also, you were able to reflect and adapt continuously, and that's why you were able to transition from one to the other. So think about it this way. Why would we limit an education only to disciplines, rather the disciplines and skills? It's not one or the other, and these competencies.
Now, the statistic I've heard, though, that is different from my experience to a young person now is that a school student in 2017 can expect to have up to 17 jobs and 5 careers over their working lives?
Yes. I mean, the churn is only increasing with globalization coupled with automation. We're seeing more and more rotation in jobs and occupations. If you think about artificial intelligence and search, these algorithms are impacting us already and changing the nature of work forever. And so it is only fair that we realign the knowledge to the more modern areas that matter to all of us and matter for jobs of the future, rather than just what served us for the past 100 years.
Yeah, and that's probably changing jobs on average about every 3 years or 2 years or so, and changing your career again on average every 10 years or so. So tell me more about how that makes a difference to the kind of education you need that's going to equip you for that degree of change.
Well, certainly. Well, first, you have to think about how we learn and then about what it is we learn in the first place. On the how side, it is clear, and research has shown over the past decades, that our motivation and our engagement comes from personalizing education, but in a smart way that is targeted at the passions of each individual, and also rethinking how we deliver that instruction in the classroom, meaning the right blend of projects and traditional didactic instruction. So it's not one or the other, it's one and the other in the judicious blend. And then, of course, there's the what conversation.
Well, there is the demands of the new economy, but as you made reference to, there are key technological developments that are conditioning our future, aren't they, and the future of work. So you mentioned, did you mention artificial intelligence? Yeah. So, I mean, take us through what those major technological shifts, how that's going to affect the education that kids need.
Well, if you think about even search algorithms, right, we've been able now to retrieve information on the internet at the blink of an eye. So it changes what you need to memorize. This is not different from what the ancient Greeks were bemoaning when no longer did we need to learn the Iliad by heart. So things have changed even further.
I think we should still be learning the Iliad by heart, mind you. But anyway, there you go.
Well, that's a question of how much memorization is needed. Obviously, mm-hmm. We all rely on our memory, and a certain amount of automaticity will always be important. However, finding the appropriate information, judging it for its quality and not the fake news we've all heard about, being critically minded in how we ascertain it, matters more than ever because we have such a deluge of information.
And also, the other side is jobs are changing. I mean, artificial intelligence really does mean that there are a whole raft of jobs that you would never have imagined could be done by a non-human that are going to be.
Absolutely. But there's also not just substitution effects, but there are also augmentation effects, meaning would you believe that your oncologist has the time to read the 10,000 articles that pertain to their profession every year? Or would you want them to be assisted by some form of expert system to guide them?
Interesting. Now, in terms of shifting focus in education, are you talking about primary and secondary schools and universities?
Absolutely.
The whole lot.
Absolutely. The concept applies to all, meaning it's a question of rebalancing how we teach, of course, but also what we teach in the first place. So again, this issue of modernizing the knowledge aspect, you know, what matters in this day and age. And it's not, of course, only about science and technology and math.
Well, I wanted to ask you that because, you know, what's the role of the humanities then in 21st century education as you see it and of a liberal arts education?
I would say more essential than ever. What I would hope we seek is an education that creates versatile, renaissance-like individuals that are capable of being broad and deep simultaneously. And this breadth that we're seeking can be very well acquired through arts and humanities. So they are all essential to each other. It's not an and, it's not an or proposition, it's an and proposition.
Do you know of a time in history, Charles, when education also needed or went through the kind of overhaul, the kind of shifts that you're wanting to see today?
Well, clearly, yes. We went through an enormous change with the Industrial Revolution, and we went from no mass schooling to inventing, in a sense, and deploying mass schooling. And that has served us well for 150 plus years. So let's not deny that it served its job right. But now with the Digital Revolution, we're seeing a new step function occurring. And to walk through that step, we need to upgrade ourselves, upskill ourselves the same way we did with the Industrial Revolution. The difference now is that the rate of change is a lot faster and much more unforgiving.
Mm. This is Life Matters. I'm Amanda Smith and I'm with Charles Fadell. He runs the Centre for Curriculum Redesign. It's a not-for-profit organisation that's based in Boston, USA. Charles also advises the OECD on curriculum redesign and he's visiting Australia to give a lecture on this subject. I'll give you the details for the lecture a bit later. So, Charles, are there specific subjects that you or I might have done at school that just really don't need to be taught anymore?
I wouldn't go quite that blunt. I would simply say that within all the disciplines we have learned at school, there's a lot of cleaning up to do, things that are no longer that relevant. For instance, what mattered to become a woodworker or a land surveyor matters a lot less nowadays in terms of mathematics, as we are seeking data specialists. So clearly statistics and probabilities become of much greater importance. So there's cleaning up even within the traditional disciplines that needs to take place, curating carefully what matters in today's age. But in addition to this, there are also modern disciplines that have been relegated to the periphery because the core is so full of older things.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to bring something else in, you have to lose other things.
Precisely. So, for instance, wouldn't you want to teach entrepreneurship? Wouldn't you want robotics? Wouldn't you want wellness? All sorts of modern disciplines that matter greatly nowadays.
Yeah, but what would you lose to bring those things in?
Well, the losing is actually slivers of the old disciplines. It's not wholesale abandonment by any stretch. It's just a careful curation of what matters less, what continues to matter.
Can I ask you, what's your view of things like handwriting and perhaps other manual skills?
Well, manual skills in general, some of them actually may endure automation. In other words, fine motor skills coupled with non-repetitive tasks may actually survive robotization quite well. And so they're not to be discounted as unnecessary or unworthy of jobs. It's, again, this careful analysis of what may still be needed. For instance, drone operations. you know, driving a drone. You know, no one would have suspected this was would be a job 10 years ago.
Yeah, being a drone pilot.
Exactly.
That's true. Well, look, we're familiar with the three R's as the traditional foundation of education, but you've got the four C's as the cornerstones of your 21st century curriculum. Take us through the four C's.
Well, the four C's relate to skills, and that's how you use your knowledge. In other words, your creativity, your critical thinking, your communication, and your collaboration skills. That's, of course, necessary, and we all experience it in our daily careers as parents, as educators, and so on. But in addition to this, let's remember that what makes us successful in life is also our character. In other words, how we behave and engage in the world. And then what's called meta-learning, which is how we engage, how we adapt and reflect on a constant basis, how we learn how to learn.
Those four C's, though, that you talk about, so creativity, communication, collaboration.
And critical thinking.
And critical thinking. I think many teachers would argue that those things are already being taught.
They are partially being taught, and certainly the better teachers endeavor to do so. But to focus on something, as you were saying earlier, we need to make time and space for that. And so are we sure that we're teaching these skills and character qualities in a deliberate, comprehensive, systematic, and demonstrable way?
Okay, so now you believe, I think, in skills, not scores. What are some of the other skills, you started talking about them, that you think have been underrated in our education system?
Right, so it's not strictly scores. It's you know, ascertaining the entire individual and their full range of capabilities, what make us thrive in societies, in life, in employability, and so on. And again, so we're talking about character qualities like mindfulness and resilience and curiosity and leadership and so on. And our ability to continuously learn how to learn and stay current and adapt to changing times. As you said yourself, you've had so many careers, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have had several careers. It's their ability to reflect and adapt that is at a premium in times of rapid change.
Yeah, and it's really, I think, then, not just about being able to learn, but about being able to relearn. I mean, can you be taught to relearn, how to relearn?
Absolutely. If you're taught to be so-called metacognitive, in other words, constantly look at yourself and look at your actions, you know, a little bit like you were an observer looking at yourself, you realize there are things that you're doing on autopilot sometimes that no longer make sense. So this ability to be discerning that can be trained, absolutely, like anything else. Our brains are fabulous engines if they are targeted the right way.
So what did you say? Metacognitive. What that means, looking at your self-thinking?
Precisely. Thinking about your own thinking.
Right.
Which is actually what we do very routinely. You know, all of us are constantly thinking, well, did I say this correctly or should I have thought about it differently? We do this routinely. But what's at a premium is making sure that this is trained in every child on a systematic basis so it becomes a constant part of their self-challenge.
Now, look, high unemployment is a big problem in places around the world, especially youth unemployment. How might the sort of shifts in thinking about education that you're proposing make a difference to that?
It is definitely a key issue of this century. We are seeing high youth unemployment around the world, and it's worrisome. That's what is actually the seed for social unrest, and no one wants to see more of that. So it's a question of making education more relevant. This point of relevance really matters. We have lost over the decades this focus on what is truly employable and what's of benefit to society, rather than it was somewhat narrowly serving for some specific quarters, like, say, for instance, university entrance and so on. We really have to focus again on the broad view of an education with a capital E, that helps all of us thrive for life and for employability.
Now, so tell me, why is your organization, the Center for Curriculum Redesign, and your focus, I think, global, rather than working within, you know, specific educational jurisdictions, for want of a better word?
Actually, global is what it means. In other words, in the end, in education is always individualized to a given jurisdiction or to a given school or to a given pupil. However, there are commonalities. If you are a jurisdiction anywhere in the world, you're bombarded with new requests. Teach personal finance, teach robotics. Why aren't you doing more on critical thinking? How about creativity? How about resilience and leadership? People are bombarded with all of these memes. And what we're trying to do is create a clean, crisp, an actionable framework so that people can think of all of these requests in a unified way. Now, of course, each jurisdiction or each school may weigh some of these attributes differently depending on their local needs. So there's no one size fits all. However, the needs of humanity are pretty much identical, whether it's Australia or Indonesia or elsewhere.
Are there, though, particular countries or places at the moment around the world that are making the sorts of shifts in education that you're talking about already?
Well, plenty of jurisdictions are trying. The ones that are doing better on the PISA scale that the OECD has been deploying.
What's the PISA
it's
scale?
It's a global test that measures how countries are doing against each other. But in the end, all of these jurisdictions are trying to go way beyond that because they realize that what we have measured so far is somewhat diminutive to what is necessary.
So you mean we've just measured literacy and numeracy and not much beyond that?
You're exactly correct.
And not those sort of qualities that...
You're exactly correct. And so we need to go way beyond that because we know that that's what makes a full individual. Unfortunately, what we measure becomes the focus and the single-handed focus rather than just a mere indication along the way. So we need to broader measure because what we measure impacts what we pay attention to.
So, Charles, when you're talking to people who are responsible around the world for deciding what's taught in school curricula and, you know, you challenge them on what needs to change, what sort of reception do you get?
Well, it's not uncommon that people would be open and receptive. It's just that there are a series of impediments for change that come into play. It's sometimes a political turmoil in a given jurisdiction, changes that are afoot. Sometimes it is the conservatism of experts that are chosen to change the standards. Sometimes it's parents who are questioning where this is all going and reflexively, unfortunately, refer back to their own education and think that it should still be relevant for the times, whereas very often it no longer is sufficient.
So what's it going to take to drive that sort of change?
Well, one of the levers for change would be much wiser and smarter entrance requirements for universities. If those were to change, they would already send a signal that it's no longer sufficient to be attached to old-fashioned scores and only that.
And Charles Fardell is going to be giving a lecture on this, the Australian Learning Lecture, this Thursday night, the 11th of May. That's going to be in Melbourne. And you can book for that if you're in Melbourne and want to hear more from him. The lecture is also going to be streamed live across the country. And there's a link on the Life Matters website to give you details both for attending and streaming that lecture. It's called The New Success, What Qualities and Skills Do Our Kids Need to Succeed in the 21st Century? Charles Fardell, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Likewise, thank you very much.
And Charles is the founder and chairman of the Centre for Curriculum Redesign that's based in Boston in the US. He's also vice chair of the Education Committee of the Business and Industry Advisory Committee of the OECD. And since for the last 15 years or so, Australia's educational outcomes have been declining. As I understand it, the only OECD country where this is the case is definitely a timely subject.